Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Jackie Quinn. President Biden says he will try to get some type of limits on assault weapons passed in this lame duck session of Congress. He was asked today about the spate of mass shootings just this month, including the deaths of 6 people in a Virginia Walmart yesterday and the weekend killings of 5 people at a Colorado gay nightclub. The president questioned the easy sale of assault weapons in the U.S.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. Just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None.
The neighbor of 31-year-old Andre Bing, the Walmart manager who apparently took his own life after shooting 5 others in Chesapeake, Virginia, tells WVEC-TV he kept to himself.
Never really spoken to anybody. Stayed to himself. He cut his grass, watered his lawn. Went to work like regular people.
The United Nations Human Rights Council today voted to condemn the bloody crackdown on peaceful protesters in Iran and investigate alleged abuses, especially against women and children. The protest began more than 2 months ago after a 22-year-old woman died in custody after violating Islamic dress code. Thanksgiving's one of the most traveled holidays on the calendar. AAA forecasting 55 million people went away from home. And now there's a recall on certain Ford SUVs. More from our Rita Foley.
A cracked fuel injector can spill fuel or leak vapors onto a hot engine and cause fires. The recall covers Bronco Sport and Escape SUVs from model years 2020 through 2023. Ford does say that it's gotten 20 reports of fires, including 3 that ignited nearby structures.
The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade wrapped up in New York City with a smiling, waving Santa Claus sending holiday greetings. This is AP News.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get up to 50% off with the Black Friday sale happening right now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with our super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts, so don't miss it. Up to 50% off for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift for every guy in your list at untuckit.com or 80 plus Untuck It stores. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys, 404-793-0000, online at cordellcordell.com, 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Who doesn't love laser tag? iCombat gives you that and so much more. It's a real-life video game experience. iCombat's perfect for birthday parties, special events, corporate team building, or just blasting away at your friends. iCombat at 1023 Spring City Drive off Sunset. For more info, go to iCombatWaukesha.com. iCombat is a proud sponsor of the Black Shirt Football radio broadcast. Gear up, squad up, prepare for iCombat laser tag.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinier with your headlines. Newly re-elected Attorney General Josh Call is hoping Republicans will live up to their campaign promises to improve public safety by increasing funding to the DOJ and approving his request for 67 more positions. Speaking with WisPolitics.com, Call discussed his focus on increasing money for violence prevention and mental health services and increasing shared revenue so local governments can improve their public safety resources. Call also stating the need for more emergency detention funding. Wisconsin only has one facility in Winnebago County. The AG said he's confident his lawsuit seeking to end Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban will succeed. After 32 years, Wisconsin State Senator Alberta Darling has announced she's retiring December 1st. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Good morning, Wisconsin. This is Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening in Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and in Madison. Again, I am Dan Schaefer. I am the founder, publisher, and writer of The Recombobulation Area, a weekly news and opinion column and online publication based in Milwaukee. And I'm here with Jane Matinier. Jane, how are you doing this morning?
I am great, Dan. Unfortunately, I don't have any headphones.
Well, that's going to make things a little bit of a challenge at the outset here, but that's going to be all right.
I think we are working on it now, as long as we're not getting any feedback, because I can't tell.
Okay, that's all right. Well, I just wanted to, you know, start off the show. And as always, you can call or text anytime at 844-967-2789. Again, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer filling in for Kristen Bry today. And I wanted to start off the show with, you know, because there is some big news right here in our neighborhood here in Waukesha. Yesterday, the Darryl Brooks, the individual who drove through the Waukesha Christmas parade almost exactly a year ago, was sentenced to serve six life terms, one after the other, plus 796 years in prison. He was convicted on 76 counts, 6 counts of homicide, 61 counts of recklessly endangering safety. And, you know, I think it was a pretty powerful scene in the courtroom yesterday. And I'm just really wishing that the people of Waukesha, wishing some peace and comfort and some closure here. Obviously, something that's just a horrifying tragedy, really something that meant a lot to this community. A lot of people had some very emotional responses to what happened. And, you know, it's just, I'm just really hoping that people can find closure in this moment. You know, I think we may have a clip from Judge Jennifer Doro. And can we go to that now, Jane?
This community can only be safe if you are behind bars for the rest of your life. The actions of Darryl Brooks demand punishment. The community is not safe from your violent and criminal conduct unless you are in custody. You left a path of destruction, chaos, death, injury, confusion, and panic as you drove 7 or so blocks through the Christmas parade. Never once stopping or seemingly caring about the wake of carnage that you left. 4 of those blocks were turned into a scene that frankly is no different than a war zone. On counts 1 through 6, this court is imposing a life sentence without the possibility or eligibility for extended supervision consecutive to one another.
That was Judge Rebecca Doro during the sentencing yesterday of Daryl Brooks here in Waukesha.
Yeah, it was a powerful scene when Judge Doro, she read all of the names of the individuals who were killed. I think that was a pretty powerful moment. I think, again, I'm just wishing peace and comfort and closure to the people of Waukesha who endured such an unbelievable tragedy.
I watched some of the victim statements, and if you want to see them, there's a number of them online. You can go to any number of outlets. It's really hard. And I, you know, for some of these young children who were victims, the one woman said who was 9-year-old daughter was injured. She said, I don't think she ever wants to go to another parade for as long as she lives. And she's 10.
It's unimaginable.
It is.
It's unimaginable.
Is. Truly.
Yeah. And, you know, the anniversary of this horrible tragedy is coming up on Monday.
Yes.
So just the timing of all of this, it's just, there's a lot of weight to it.
But I think it could have dragged out so much longer. And, you know, this could have taken several years. It seems to me like the courts can move awfully slowly. So hopefully this helped some of the victims and their families to have some closure before these anniversaries come. They're always going to be horrible and hard, but at least they know that Daryl Brooks is never going to be free.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just the going through the process of the trial, which I can't imagine what it would be like, you know, watching that trial. It was really tough. And I hope, you know, having that in the news every day for the last couple months, and now we've reached the end of it. And hopefully, when that anniversary arrives on Monday, people can reflect and you know, find a way to move on.
There's going to be a special ceremony here in Waukesha, and then of course the Waukesha Christmas Parade is not far off. And I think, as we heard a lot during the trial too, the community has really come together. They are Waukesha strong. We are Waukesha strong. And I know that there's going to be just a huge, huge turnout for that.
Yeah, absolutely. All the best to everybody in Waukesha and wishing everybody peace and comfort.
Absolutely.
On that. Before we are coming up a little bit close to a break here, but I just wanted to first, of course, start with that, and then talk a little bit about our guests today. We have some tremendous guests.
We got a full show.
We had a lot of great guests here with us on Monday. Was able to get a lot more great guests today.
You got some good contacts there, my friend.
I'm lucky. I got lucky. I think people after the election. People are maybe a little bit more available than they were a couple weeks ago.
A little more time.
Ago.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah. But so at 11:30, we will have my good friend, Eric Name of The Athletic, who is the beat reporter for the Milwaukee Bucks. Eric and I go back a ways.
Oh, do
so,
you?
Yeah, he was a columnist on the Milwaukee Bucks at Milwaukee Magazine when I was the digital editor there. So I was editing Eric's early work before he became perhaps one of the best beat reporters in the business.
Oh, that's great.
Covering the NBA. So he and I go back away. So that'll be a fun conversation. And then we're going to continue talking a little bit with a couple guests, rehashing some of the results in the midterm elections. We're going to have Amanda Heidemann, who is a political science professor at Marquette University. She's going to be talking about the midterms and the role of misinformation. And then at 12:30, guest Our guest is going to be Greg May of 1000 Friends of Wisconsin. He's going to be talking about the decision on I-94 expansion, with a decision that got handed down, or that was made last week, right after the election. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation chose the 8-lane option. I have written a great many words about the proposed I-94 expansion. Greg May was one of the people who I talked to for my coverage of that last year, so it'll be great to catch up with him on all the work he was doing. I actually saw him on Tuesday when I was in downtown Milwaukee at the Urban Spaceship Conference, and he was presenting about the proposal to convert 794 to something different in downtown Milwaukee. So that really? That can be something that we could talk about as well. There was a lot of energy at that Urban Spaceship Conference.
Urban Spaceship.
That's right. That's right. It's a.
It's not a rocket.
Not a rocket. It's just kind of. It's a fun name for, you know, kind of a urbanist podcast and group and conference and event series that is in Milwaukee. Jeremy Foget from New Milwaukee is behind that. He put the conference on. They had a lot of great speakers to talk about. Urbanism, and they had Mayor Cavalier Johnson there, who was in the kind of the theme of the conference was about growing Milwaukee to 1 million, 1 million residents, which Cavalier Johnson first told when he was campaigning for the job. It was in an interview with me, actually, at the Recombobulation Area, that he put out that goal for 1 million Milwaukeeans. And it was kind of cool to see that, you know, become such a focus in that conference. So that was pretty cool. And then our final guest today will be Anthony Shergoski of UW La Crosse. He's going to be talking to us about what's happened in the midterms in Western Wisconsin. I think that was one of the real takeaways from the election. Flip the Republican Derek Van Orden flipping that seat in a much tighter race than a lot of people expected. So we're going to be talking to Anthony about what happened there, and we'll get into some other stuff as well over the course of the day here. So again, this is Dan Schaefer. I'm filling in for Kristen Bry today. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and I'm sitting here in downtown Waukesha. There's some snow falling.
Anytime you want to call in or text, you can do that at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY, as Greg Bach likes to say, party. We always like to hear from you. You can also leave suggestions at asgoeswisconsin.com. If you have guests you would like us to talk to, if there's something going on in your community that you would like us to highlight, we can certainly do that. So check us out on asgoeswisconsin.com. We are going to head to a break. We will be right back after this. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
A dream that I
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Slight chance for scattered showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 49. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 29 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High of 47. Mid-50s Saturday. Low 40s Sunday. With a chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am filling in for Kristen Bry today. And Jane, there's been some news in Wisconsin. There always is some news in Wisconsin. Where are we going to go first here?
It's entirely up to you. Which hijinks would you like to start with?
Well, I want to start off with some positive news, and what I think is some positive news. Some big news in Congress this week with the Senate moving forward with the Respect for Marriage Act. And there was a big vote yesterday on moving that bill forward. It cleared the 60-vote threshold to move forward. And the person really driving the train for this one was Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Tammy Baldwin's, and I think this is a really important thing that she has been doing to get this, basically get same-sex marriage, right to same-sex marriage codified into federal law. After we saw what happened with the Dobbs ruling this summer and some of the comments that Clarence Thomas made, saying that, you know, this could open up challenges to other Supreme Court decisions, like the one that made same-sex marriage legal nationwide. Tammy Baldwin really driving the train on this one. And, you know, she gave a floor speech yesterday. I think it was a pretty powerful one. If you have a chance to check it out, she talked about, you know, she's the first openly lesbian senator in American history. And she talked about friends of hers. She talked about her story. It was a pretty powerful speech. And I think, you know, and also, too, I think this became an issue that was kind of coming up over the course of the campaign. But instead of making it a campaign wedge issue, I think Tammy Baldwin really prioritized getting this done. Instead of making this some sort of pre-election vote or anything like that, it wasn't clear if they had the 60 votes needed to overcome the filibuster. But now that the election's over, they have those votes. They have 12 Republicans who are going to be voting for this. Some of the more centrist Republicans, you might, you know, names like Susan Collins and Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski. So I think this is just a really important thing. And as this advances, it has those 60 votes. It's going to very likely get another vote over the next couple weeks here and enshrine these rights into federal law. I think it's so important. And it's so important that we, you know, I'm proud to be represented by Tammy Baldwin.
And isn't it remarkable, Dan, that legislation can actually be passed for the good of constituents instead of being held up and thrown back and forth like a political football.
Yeah, funny how that works.
It's remarkable.
Yeah, yeah. And I reflect on this, just this issue in general, and just how quickly things have changed when it comes to recognizing rights to same-sex marriage in this country. You know, I just think about being in high school, and that was such a big issue, in the early 2000s, and became kind of this wedge issue in the 2004 election when George W. Bush was reelected. And then, you know, just 11 years after that, the federal law, the banning it, was overturned by the Supreme Court. It means so much to so many families, so many members of the LGBT community. And I think, you know, having this, you know, after what happened this summer with the Dobbs decision, it just really brought into focus that, you know, this court could rule on other actions and, you know, I think Ron Johnson had a statement yesterday
He did not vote for this.
He was not among the Republicans. He had signaled early in the process that he was a maybe vote. I think anybody who took that as anything reflecting a reality of where Johnson tends to lie on the issues, I think he kind of pulled one over on people a little bit there. We have a really terrific junior senator in Wisconsin who prioritized getting this done over making it a political football. And I think that's really important. So it's going to be going to head to I think the quote that she had, and I'm quoting here, "We are on the cusp of a historic vote in the Senate." And we absolutely are through that. Another piece of news that I wanted to talk about, and I think this is going to be an important one as we get into next year, is Robin Voss and potential legislative shenanigans inside the Republican-controlled state legislature. Now, the Republican-controlled state legislature, they did not reach the two-thirds supermajority threshold, but they did gain seats. The new maps gave them a path to that supermajority. They did add seats, so they will be at 64 out of the 99 seats in the state assembly. And I think there is some potential for some shenanigans here, because you can't put anything past Robin Voss and company when it comes to pulling some sort of shenanigans. And if you've ever talked to, you know, legislative Democrats, they are often kept in the dark on the timing of veto override votes. So even though they didn't get the supermajority, they can still do lots of crazy things. And I think there is concern among legislative Democrats if they don't have their full all 35 of their members present for a vote. You know, things could get complicated, and you know, this accounts for, you know, I don't know, people who might be sick, people who might have a relative in the hospital, people who might be pregnant, people who might have COVID. You still can't enter the Capitol if you have COVID as a legislator, and so there's all sorts of different things that could potentially come up. You know, I think back to the saga from 3 years ago where Representative Jimmy Anderson, who is paralyzed, that Robin Voss denied his right to, you know, phone into meetings and attend remotely. Like, what is it going to mean for Robin Voss and the caucus now that they have, you know, so close to that two-thirds majority? If they don't have people present, they could call a vote. So I think that is something really to look out for as we go into next session. We are going to be headed to break here. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm filling in for Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin. After the break, I believe, we will be talking to my good friend Eric Naim of The Athletic.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by...
President Biden lashes out against mass shootings. I'm Jackie Quinn with an AP News Minute. The Biden family spending Thanksgiving in Nantucket, and the president asked about Wednesday's Walmart shootings and the weekend nightclub effect in Colorado need to be toughened to get guns away from people known to be troubled.
Based on knowledge, not on parents saying or loved ones saying, you should arrest this person now for his own sake.
The president's comments come after five people were killed at a Colorado Springs nightclub this past weekend, and six died yesterday at a Southern Virginia Walmart. Data from the European Union show Twitter took longer to review hateful content and remove less of it in 2022 compared to the previous year. Lawyers for author E. Jean Carroll were able to file a lawsuit overnight alleging Donald Trump sexually assaulted her in the 90s. It's because of a change in New York law. Carroll spoke with reporters in February.
Assaulting and raping a woman and then getting away with it.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Now you can get up to 50% off with the Black Friday sale happening right now at Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep them looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with our super soft flannels and wrinkle-free shirts, so don't miss it. Up to 50% off for a limited time only. Find the perfect gift for every guy in your list at untuckit.com or 80-plus Untuck It stores. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys, 404-793-0000, online at CordellCordell.com, 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. State Senator Alberta Darling says she'll retire after 32 years in the Wisconsin legislature. Darling is a Republican from suburban Milwaukee. She says she'll step down a week from tomorrow. She served as co-chair of the powerful Joint Finance Committee longer than any other woman. Her retirement denies Republicans a supermajority in the upper house, at least until a special election is held to fill the seat. A man from Fond du Lac, police say, stabbed his girlfriend to death earlier this month, is charged with first-degree homicide. Gary Davis was in court yesterday. He's also charged with mayhem and hiding a corpse. His bail is set at $2 million. In sports, Badger men's basketball takes on Dayton this afternoon. The Bucks host Chicago tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
To As Goes Wisconsin. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm filling in for Kristen Bry, and joining me for the next half hour is my good friend and the beat reporter at The Athletic, one of the best beat reporters in the business, who covers the Bucks like no one else, and who is the former columnist for Milwaukee Magazine back in 2015 when we were both there. Welcome to Eric Name.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you as well.
As I mentioned earlier in the show, Eric and I go back a ways. Eric was, I think, got his first credentials to cover the Milwaukee Bucks when he was a columnist at Milwaukee Magazine. I was the digital editor at the time. This was 2015. The Bucks were an exciting upstart franchise under Coach Jason Kidd, starting to put it together. And here we are 7 years later. You're covering the 2021 World Champions and one of the best teams in the NBA.
It's quite a change, huh? What a wild time it is to think about the Milwaukee Bucks and kind of where they are now and where they've been and all the stuff that has happened in, what is that, 7 years, 8 years? It's kind of crazy to think that, you know, we're now in the spot where the Bucks are on national TV all the time. The Bucks are a game that you circle if you're an opposing team. The Bucks have the best player in the NBA. Like, all of those things are now true. And honestly, I think it's still pretty tough to comprehend, even though I've been in it now for about 4 years, of this being the case, of the Bucks being this good, of Giannis being this good, of the team just kind of dominating every single regular season.
It is still mind-blowing to think of the Milwaukee Bucks as the true powerhouse franchise in the NBA, and many people picking them to head back to the finals this year. They have the best player in the league. You get to cover that player a whole lot. Before we talk about Giannis, I do want to talk about Giannis a little bit, but I want to take a step back, zoom out, and talk a little big picture. Because yesterday was the two-year anniversary of one of the most important moments in Bucks history, one of the most consequential transactions the league has seen in recent years. And that was the day the Bucks made a big swing to trade for Drew Holiday, bring him in. And I'd say that trade went pretty well.
Yeah, you could say that, I guess. It's been okay for them. It is really kind of crazy to think about just where they are now with Drew Holiday and the fact that it worked out. I remember kind of covering that trade, and as it was happening, reminding everyone, hey, this might be the best player available in the trade market. This might be the biggest acquisition. And it kind of just getting poo-pooed because, as everyone knows, an hour after we reported Drew Holiday was getting traded to the Milwaukee Bucks at the Athletic, Adrian Wojnarowski reported that Bojan Bogdanović was going to get traded to the Milwaukee Bucks over at ESPN, and that didn't happen. And then because of that, it turned into this really weird situation where, going into that offseason, you know, I remember Zach Lowe writing a great story about, man, if the Nets are able to add him as their third piece, this is the guy that makes everything work. You know, he's the guy that defensively can cover up for Kyrie, and you can have what you want with Kevin Durant, and he'll have this good pick and roll action. And, you know, this is the guy, man. This is the guy for the Nets. If the Nets get him, watch out, the league's in trouble. And then the Bucks traded for him, and it was like, I don't know if it's going to work out. Maybe they gave up too much. Maybe this guy is just Eric Bledsoe, except a little bit more talented on the offensive end. And it's proven to be absolutely preposterous, right? Like, as I was sitting there, like, I was talking to Zach, I was talking to Chris Herring. I was like, am I crazy? Didn't we just go through all of you saying that whoever adds Drew Holiday, man, they're going to be the title favorites? And then the Bucks did it, and it was, I was like, did I miss something? Has something changed? What's going on? And really, that the Bogdanović stuff that happened afterwards really, I think, kind of just polluted the water and made people think, oh, this isn't going to be that big of a deal. And then pretty quickly, everyone saw that was ridiculous, right? Like, pretty quickly, Drew Holiday's hitting game winners in Memphis. Pretty quickly, Drew Holiday's being an all defensive wrecking ball. Like, he's just being Drew Holiday. And all of a sudden, the Bucks are, oh, by the way, the best team in the league once again.
You know, I was driving the train for the Bucks to trade for Drew Holiday. I thought, hey, this guy is available. He will fit perfectly in Milwaukee. You form a big three with him and with Giannis and with Chris Middleton. Like, those are three players that can complement each other really, really well. And so obviously when the team makes a move like that, it's an all-in move. Right. At the time, we didn't know quite yet if Giannis was going to be signing the Supermax. You know, we didn't know quite yet if Mike Budenholzer was the long-term solution as coach. So you make that move, the Bucks go all in. That move leads directly to a championship. And I think, you know, when you make that move, you open up the championship window like never before. And I think, you know, maybe a lot of people thought the Bucks got a little bit lucky with their injuries in 2021 and got a little bit unlucky with the injuries in 2022. But I think you make that Jrue Holiday trade, you become a championship contender. I think winning one title in the next 2 years, I think that's the right number of titles for the Bucks. If they had gone back to back in the truncated season with basically no offseason, with Chris and Drew playing for the United States Olympic team winning gold medal in Japan, if they had gone back to back and got, you know, similarly great injury luck in back to back years, I think that would have been a little bit ridiculous. Like, the Bucks are, you know, obviously a very good team, championship contender team, but to think of them as, you know, kind of like the Warriors with Kevin Durant, they're not quite that, right? So
maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe not. Because I do think there's a very real possibility that they win again this year. And then all of a sudden you have two championships in 3 years. The 2 years before that, you have 60 win season and the 55 win season.
Yeah.
Like, you have 5 years of preposterously good basketball, like just great, great basketball. And then you're telling the story of, you know, this is Dwayne Casey was explaining it the other night. Like, all right, you had Michael Jordan and he couldn't get past the Pistons. All right. Well, Giannis couldn't get past the Raptors and the Heat didn't end up being the same team. So it's not like the perfect narrative, but, you know, two times he failed. And then the third time he was able to win one. And then, you know, you have an injury happen that takes Chris Middleton out and you don't get that back-to-back championship, but you get 2 and 3 years. And then all of a sudden you're looking at 5 historically good seasons in a row and you're looking at what is a dynastic team like that. So I don't want to shut the door so quickly on saying that this isn't the Kevin Durant Warriors, because it very well could be. Like, this is very well a team that could go out and win 2 championships in 3 seasons. And the number of teams that have done that in NBA history is very small. And the number of teams that have been able to put together 5 seasons as good as the 5 seasons that the Bucks are going to put together is very small as well. You're looking at a really, really special team. And maybe they won't get viewed that way just because of, you know, having a couple different versions of the team. I don't know, a global pandemic striking in the middle of the whole thing, in the world totally changing. But this is, there is a very real possibility that this is 5 seasons of really, 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 really special basketball.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the best comparison, recent NBA history comparison to them, is the San Antonio Spurs with Tim Duncan. You know, kind of he's the superstar on the team, just like Giannis is the superstar on the team. Both will probably go down as the among the 10 best players in NBA history. But, you know, Duncan as the big man, Giannis as the big man, kind of flanked by two really terrific perimeter creators, two-way players, the Spurs with Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, the Bucks with Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday. So the Spurs never repeated, even though they won 5 titles over the course of their run. The run, of course, got extended a little ways beyond the original window. But I think that is, you know, that's the team that I think of that the Bucks could model themselves after, with the one superstar, the two all-star level, fringe all-star level players, and can, you know, maybe not repeat as the title, but can win that 2 and 3 years, can compete year after year after year, because you have such a superhuman talent in Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, and the fact that he kind of hit a peak so early with getting that MVP, you know, in his 24, 25 season, and now you're looking at a prime that, with the way that he's gone and the way that he's improved, I mean, who knows? Maybe that goes to 34, like age 34, and then all of a sudden it's the back half of it. And instead of, you know, like a 6 or 7 year prime that you used to see, it's a 10 year prime. And then even once he's out of his prime seasons, he's still very good. He's still someone that's really able to contribute. So I think overall, the Spurs comparison makes a lot of sense. I'm sure Mike Budenholzer will be flattered by that, coming from the Greg Popovich tree. So that is definitely the team that I think you do have to be thinking about when you're thinking about this Milwaukee Bucks team.
Yeah, and Giannis is... mean, he's won two MVPs. He's won a finals MVP. He put up performances in the playoffs last year like nothing we've ever seen against Boston. Is he still getting better?
Yeah, he is. Which is terrifying for the rest of the league. He's just undeniably, he's a sicko. he just loves getting better. He loves basketball. He loves the grind. He loves improving. He loves working on new things. And I think the thing about him is that he can just kind of pick things up without even really thinking about it. You know, I was talking about it on the Low Post and I wrote about it earlier this year, but you know, some of like, everyone always wants to say he's the run and dunk guy, and that's cool, right? Like, I don't want it to be diminished that being able to run and dunk when five men are trying to stop you from running dunk is pretty impressive. Like, if you can run and dunk while a whole team is trying to stop you, that means you're really, really good. So that shouldn't be diminished. Like, that for some reason, that's like a bad thing. Like, oh my gosh, all this guy can do is run and dunk. Yeah.
Yeah, he's better at it than anybody in NBA history.
You gave him two easy points. Like, yeah. You should stop doing that. You should stop doing that thing where you let him dunk. Oh, you can't stop him? That must mean he's really good. So even with that being said, I think over the years, like, he has gotten a lot better. You know, he's shooting 77-78% at the rim this season. And, you know, he's able to go out there and just make different things happen. He's going high glass with the offhand. He's going right hand scoop shots. He can do everything around the rim. And he's just so tough to stop at this point. And this isn't me saying like the 3-point shot is there, right? It's not. It still isn't there. And this isn't me saying that he's going to be an all-time great mid-range shooter. That isn't the case yet either. He's still working on those things, but those things are getting better. Those things are improving. And he's just learned to control games in a way that I don't know if anyone else in the league can. He knows how to manipulate defenses. He knows the passes to make. He knows where guys are going to be open. And if there's a night where he wants to dominate as a passer, last night he didn't have his rhythm, right? Okay, I'll just go out and get 8 assists. He probably should have had 12 or 15 because he got a lot of open threes and those shots just didn't go in, but he can do that now. Like, if he doesn't want to take that beating, he can go out there and he can pass and make things happen. And, you know, if he wants to go the other way and he wants to score a bunch, he can do that too.
Yeah, the way he continues to add to his game is so remarkable. And you touched on it a little bit there, just like his creativity with finishing in the lane. You know, he's got those go-go gadget arms and he can finish around everybody, but it's all, there's so much talent to it as well. And I think it's just so impressive to see him keep getting better. Like you said, the 3-point, he's not going to be a knockdown 3-point shooter, but he has really improved in the mid range. He's got that little baseline fadeaway, that is really fun. And so we are getting a little bit close to a break here, so I don't want to dive into too much, but the Bucks won last night against Cleveland. You covered that one. Brook Lopez scored 29 points in 3 quarters. What happened?
Brook Lopez is a really good shooter. And like Giannis, he's a sicko as well. At 35, he still wants to get better. He's still trying to improve. I wrote about how he used this kind of cool technology over the summer at The Athletic and learned how to shoot the basketball again, which I know is a crazy thing to say. He knows how to shoot the basketball. He's been a good shooter for a while, but he wanted to, you know, kind of reinvent himself and relearn his shot and make sure everything was right. And he just put in a ton of work this offseason on being able to shoot the basketball. And he goes 7 of 9 from the 3-point line last night. He's shooting a career high percentage from three, and he's shooting more threes than he ever has before, even in the advent of the Splash Mountain era in Milwaukee. So it's really impressive stuff.
Yeah, Splash Mountain is back. Brook Lopez hitting 7 threes last night. All right, we are coming up to a break here. Erica is going to stick with us for the rest of the half hour here. So you stick with us as well. This is Dan Schaefer on As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Sit by the TV and watch them all, because Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Veterans, whatever you're going through,
Don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance for scattered showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Daytime highs approaching 50. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 29. Highs around 47 tomorrow. Bright sunshine. Mid-50s Saturday. Low 40s Sunday with a chance for scattered rain showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Sports go sports. I promise I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Dan Schaefer, filling in for Kristen Bry today. And my guest for this half hour is my good friend Eric Name, the Bucks reporter for The Athletic. For those of you who might not know me, might not follow me on Twitter, I'm a huge Bucks fan. I watch every game. I'm way too into it. You probably see me live tweet the games with particular enthusiasm. I'm probably one of the only people out there who ever gets a stick to politics reply on Twitter, because I get people who will, you know, follow me for my coverage of elections and politics and all the craziness that's going on in the state of Wisconsin, and then all of a sudden I'll have rip off like 10 tweets in a row about what's going on in the Bucks game, and some people will be like, hey, what's this? I don't follow this person for the Bucks, stick to politics. I'm probably one of the only people who ever gets that. But I'm joined again by Eric Name, who covers the team like no one else. We were just talking about, kind of the big picture for the Bucks, some of the recent successes, Giannis continuing to get better. So let's talk about this season. This season is, the Bucks are off to a terrific start. They had the best start in team history, even though they are having some injuries. They're still working a number of players back into the rotation. We haven't even seen their second best player, Chris Middleton, see the court yet. But the Bucks are still in pretty good shape. This beginning of the season has been pretty exciting. There's been a couple changes to their approach, and Eric, you've been covering all of it. So what are some of the highlights for you for the first 13 games of the season?
Yeah, 14 games of the season, 11-3. Yeah. So I guess there's two big ones on offense. After doing this in an NBA Finals run, the Bucks have decided that they are going to crash the glass. They are going to go after offensive rebounds with no abandon. They are just going to attack and attack and attack and attack on the offensive glass. That's everyone. Everyone's allowed to do it. There's no one that's like, hey, you got to get back. Obviously, they kind of figure out, if I'm not close to the offensive rebound, maybe I won't go for it. But for the most part, they're going for it. Everyone is doing everything they can to get all the way in there and try to fight for offensive rebounds. So that has been a unique change. It's something that they haven't really done. It's something that Mike Budenholzer really hasn't done throughout his coaching career. He typically focuses on transition defense and making sure everyone is back to get the stops and make sure that they're good to go on transition D. So that has changed a little bit offensively. I'd say that's the biggest change right now, or at least the biggest change you can see before anyone gets back on the floor when they get everyone back. Defensively, maybe even a bigger change, they've decided to start taking away the three-point line. Over the years, they believe that the best defense is a defense that does not allow you to score at the rim or the free throw line. And they've been right about that. they've been very good defensively as long as Brook Lopez is healthy. In the years that Brook Lopez is healthy, they've been fantastic defensively. I know in the postseason, everyone's going to think of Grant Williams hitting a bunch of threes and thinking, man, the Bucks defense really stunk in that series. And you'd be wrong. They had the number one defensive rating in the playoffs last year, and they had the number one rating defense rating in the playoffs the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. They've been great in the playoffs defensively.
That's been a hallmark of this team in the postseason, is they get stops when it matters.
Correct. Mike Budenholzer obsesses over a lot of things, but nothing more than defense. That team will be good defensively. That's why when you hear the Bucks potentially trading for an offensive first shooting guard, you got to be thinking, is he going to play for Bud in the playoffs? Because that is going to be something that Bud is focused on. It's all about the defense. And this year, they decided to make the change where they take away the three-point line as well. And it's really worked out thus far. They're not giving up all that many more shots at the rim. They're forcing people into the mid-range, and they're not giving up threes. I think over the years, there was probably some level of concern about how much Brook Lopez would actually be able to handle. Just because he is getting older, and you would be asking a lot out of him if you ask him to cover even more, and he's held up thus far through 14 games. He's been fantastic. So I think that's kind of been one of the things you really look at on the defensive side of the ball. So offensively, they're going after the glass. Defensively, they're taking away the three-point line and still protecting the rim, and that's led to them being a little bit of a juggernaut to start the season, even without a bunch of their guys healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, so they'll continue to kind of hone those new things over the course of the year. And we know that the Bucks will be a contender. They have Giannis. They're going to be a contender. And one thing that we've known as soon as that kind of championship window has opened for the Milwaukee Bucks is that general manager John Horst is going to make some kind of a deal during the season to add a piece to you know, really help them get back to the championship, get back to the finals. They added PJ Tucker the year they won the finals, but you know, they've added somebody every year, and so, you know, are the Bucks seeking out that next deal? There's been a lot of talk about Jay Crowder from the Phoenix Suns, Marquette University's Jay Crowder, and whether he'll, you know, be available on the trade market, whether he is a target for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I've talked about a couple times this year. Obviously, Arsham Shrani at The Athletic reported that the Bucks are interested in Jay Crowder. I think that's about a month ago at this point, maybe 3 weeks ago. The season comes and goes pretty quickly, so I lose track of dates. But whatever, Shams had reported that, and that, I think that's still true, right? That the Bucks are interested. The thing that they're trying to kind of balance is, because John Horst is so aggressive, because he is going to make a deal, you have to have pieces to make that deal. And he's done a pretty admirable job scraping together picks in the cupboard and making sure that there is stuff that they can trade. And they got to a spot now where essentially what they can move is Grayson Allen, George Hill, and some picks. Mm-hmm. That's about it. I mean, maybe you can move Marjon Beauchamp, but I think there might be a ride in Milwaukee if you attempted to trade Marjon after the last week.
He's been fun.
So I can't imagine he's in on any deal. So they have this package, and you know when the trade deadline is, and I think the Bucks know that they have one swing to take. It's just a matter of when they want to do it. And in recent weeks, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Grayson Allen potentially being shopped. I think Jake Fisher reported that over at Yahoo. And I do think one of the big things you have to keep in mind is that the Suns want Jay Crowder. Right. Like, they have Jay Crowder. They wanted him to play. They didn't want to be in this situation. They didn't want to trade him. So if they're looking to trade Jay Crowder, they want Jay Crowder back. So you can't get Jay Crowder. So you have to find someone that looks like Jay Crowder. Grayson Allen doesn't look like Jay Crowder. That isn't a one for one kind of swap. So I do think, you know, as you've heard some of this stuff, if Grayson Allen's getting moved, it's probably because the Bucks are trying to figure out, is there another team that might want him so that we could get Jay Crowder? Like, these are the types of things that happen as you do the due diligence on a trade. So I think there's they are interested in Jay Crowder. I don't know if that'll be the guy, but I do know that John Horst is going to be aggressive and he's going to make a move, because that's what he does every single year.
Sure does. He always likes to put the Bucks in position to make another run, and that's what we're going to be looking at. And I would encourage all of our listeners here to follow Eric Name on Twitter. Follow Eric on The Athletic. He covers the Bucks. Just an exceptional exceptional level. And I thank you very much for being here.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, buddy.
All right, this is Azwas Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah. Sports, go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.